Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." This is Pastor Wynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. And I want to thank you for listening in today to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. This is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. We are located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you are in Boone, North Carolina, you would just take Highway 105 South. You'd be going towards Fosco and Banner Elk, but just 3 miles past the last red light in town is Baird's Creek Road. And on the right, or it's a right-hand turn, you just take a right on Baird's Creek. We are 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road. That's just above the Willow Creek Golf Course, and we're located just above that. We'd love for you to come and visit with us at any or all of our services. You'd be more than welcome. We usually, there's rarely a Sunday goes by that we don't have visitors. So we're used to having visitors. We'd do our best to make you feel welcome, and we want you to come. We have Sunday school at 10 a.m. Sunday mornings. Our Sunday morning worship service is at 11 a.m. Then on second and fourth Sunday nights at 6 p.m., we have our Sunday night services. And then every Wednesday night at 7, we have our midweek prayer and Bible study. Usually I'm preaching through a book in the Bible. We have just finished up the book of James, and I don't know what we're going to study next, but we'll get into something here before long, probably about the new year. So we'd love for you to come visit with us, especially if you do not have a church home and maybe you're looking. We'd love for you to come. Well, we're going to go ahead in the broadcast this morning. We appreciate you listening in. I want to say hello to Noah. He's here today, and we've already been doing some radio work this morning. I appreciate Noah and all the help that he gives me in the radio ministry. So, Noah, you all right today?
I am. It's good to be here this morning, and we do want to say how much we appreciate our listeners here today, those who listen in right here on AM 1450 WATA out of Boone, North Carolina, those who listen in on AM 690 WZAP out of Bristol, Virginia, and also those on KPGT 89.1 FM, The Truth, out of Watertown, South Dakota.
We do appreciate our listeners and appreciate Noah once again for all the help that he gives to me. Now, we have been studying for the past 10 or 12 weeks. I really don't know. I'm sure it's at least 12 on the subject of signs of the times. And just a very interesting study. I have learned a lot. It's just helped me get some things in my mind. A lot of times people say anything that goes on, they say, well, it's just a sign of the times. Well, what does that mean? Is that just something Christians say when something major happens, when something big happens, when there's a major earthquake, tornado, terrorist attack, you name it? What is a sign of the time? Is this just a word that we use, or are these actual signs that we can point to? And so we've been studying these signs of the times. Last week, we looked at distress of nations. That was number 9. We're only going to look at 10 of them. But distress of nations, we looked at Luke chapter number 21, verse number 25. "And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring." We looked at that distress of nations with perplexity, meaning that the nations of the world, with their many various problems, they do not have the answer. They are perplexed. They're puzzled. Nothing that is being tried is really working. If you know anything about the news, especially we can compare to the nation of America, or look at our nation, and this has come up many, many times in the past couple of years. Kicking the can down the road, problems come up, economic problems, kicking the can down the road, distress of nations with perplexity. That's what we looked at last week. Now, today, we're going to be looking at what Mr. Larkin in his book, Dispensational Truth, and we've went over several times the little chapter, the last chapter in the book, where he just quickly gives 10 signs of the times. And the very last sign is the sign of Noah days. And that's what he calls it, Noah days. Luke chapter 17, verse 26 through 30. And I'm going to read those verses right now. The Bible says, "And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed." You know, when you live somewhere for an extended period of time, your home, you might say, you get used to it. We live here in the mountains of North Carolina. Most people that live here, we're used to it. What I mean by that, we're used to the mountains. It doesn't appeal, or it probably appeals, and you know, I love it and everything like that, but we don't notice it. That's a good way to put it. We don't pay much attention to what we see every day. We don't pay a lot of attention sometimes to the mountain, the sunrise, the sunsets, the weather, the seasons, the views, the people, all of these things you're familiar with. You probably pay very little attention to these things on a day-by-day basis because you're very familiar with where you live and your surroundings. But from time to time, a visitor will come into town. They'll come along. We'll meet somebody that's not from here, and they will point out to us what should be very obvious, but they'll draw attention. They'll say, "Boy, you sure do live in a pretty place." And you know, when somebody comes along and says something like that, then that makes you sit up and pay attention. Maybe you're looking at a view somewhere, and you'll say, "Boy, we do live in a pretty place." And that's the same here. I've lived out west where it's flat. There's a unique beauty to that as well. But a lot of times it takes somebody from somewhere else to cause us to pay attention to our surroundings. And it is the same exact thing spiritually speaking. Every person listening to the sound of my voice has spent their whole life living in the last days. The last days have been going on now, in one sense, since the times of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul talked about being in the last days, but especially in the last 100, 200 years, these signs that we've been looking at. You've lived your whole life. I have lived my whole life in the time frame of the latter times, the very last days in this age of grace. We refer to it sometimes as a day of grace or an age of grace. We're in the last of the last days. We've already looked at these first nine signs of the times, last days mockery concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, or really anything concerning Christ. Look how every year there's this controversy about saying Merry Christmas to somebody. Once upon a time, it wasn't like that in America, but now all of a sudden, the very mention of the name of Christ is offensive to people. They've just had a ruling in that World War I memorial in the desert in California. There's a huge, gigantic cross out there as a memorial. It's been there for many years. There's been a lawsuit over 20 years concerning this cross, and they have there's just recently come down a ruling that they're going to take down that cross. That's offensive to people. We're living in the last days. These are signs of the times. prayer and Bible in the schools used to be a common thing. Now it's a against the law thing. We're living in the last days, apostasy. We talked about that. False teachers, spiritualism, the rise of demonism and the occult. These things are common to us. We see them around us every day. We're living in perilous times. We're living in times of heaped up treasure. These are all these signs we've already looked at. Heaped up treasure, meaning massive riches in the last days, controlled by just a few individuals in the world. I seen an article the other day that said most of everything that you buy, sell, or trade is controlled by about 10 corporations, and it listed them. I did not bring that with me today, but that goes right under the heading of heaped up treasure. And the Laodicean church age, we see that spiritually speaking. The fig tree sign, we looked at that, talking about the nation of Israel coming together again in the last days. We've seen all these signs, but all these signs are literally, they are nothing new to us. What we mean by that, we're used to them. We see them all the time. And without something to compare where we are, where we are at in time, we may never really notice these signs of the times. But Jesus said in Luke chapter 17 and verse number 26, "And as it was in the days of Noe, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man." Here is our visitor from another place letting us know the day and the time in which we live. If we want to know where we're at in time, then we need to compare. Wonder what it was like in the days of Noah. If we want to know the future, we need to know the past. That's what Luke chapter 17, verse number 26 is teaching us. And as it was, that's what we need to do. Go back and see what he's talking about. As it was in the days of Noe. Then he says, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. Here is something for us to compare to. Now, I'm going to quickly today give you four things about the days of Noe. Now, I preached a prophecy conference last year, and I took four nights and just preached on the subject, the days of Noe. There's a lot of information that I could give you, and I'm just going to give a quick little outline about the days of Noe. Now, first of all, I want to point out there's the monotony of those days. And we see that here in the scripture. As it was in the days of Noe, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives. They were given in marriage until the day that Noe entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Now, I want to read to you what Mr. Larkin said about that passage of scripture. He said, "Where you say is the sin in doing these things? They are not only commanded, they are necessary." That is true. The sin was not in doing them, but in doing them until the flood came. That is, they did nothing else. They forgot to worship their Maker. So today, men and women are so busily engaged in doing the good things of life that they have no time to worship God. They are so busy building homes for themselves on earth that they are neglecting to secure a home in heaven. They are more anxious that their children should make a good match on earth than that they should be united to the Lord. They are so much concerned about their case in court that they have forgotten that they must stand at the judgment bar of God. Mr. Larkin writing those words almost or probably over 100 years ago. And it amazes me that although we can see these signs of the times, they are real, they are tangible, they are observable, they are identifiable. We spent much time talking about these signs of the times and how prevalent they are. But mankind, by and large, is just has this attitude, this laissez-faire attitude, what will be, paying no attention whatsoever to all the things that are going on round about us. I've said many times in the past few years that really, if people understood where we are in time, that the churches ought to be full. They should be full of seekers that are concerned about what is going on in the world round about us and saying, you know, we don't know everything, but boy, this is getting serious. But most churches are actually in a state of decline. And those that are booming and big and large, there's this atmosphere of religious feel good about what you're doing. It's not really any type of warning or seeking because of what is going on round about us. There's the monotony of the times. They ate, they drank, they married, they builded, they did all these things until the flood came and took them all away. They paid no attention to the warning of Noah building that ark. The Bible says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Well, there's the monotony of those days. They just went on like nothing was happening. Second of all, we must hurry on. There's the mindset of Noah's day. Now, if you go back and study about the days of Noah, you're going to find out that there were basically two religions, just like there is today. There was Noah's worship of God in Genesis chapter number 5, and Noah's family, they worshiped the true God, but there was a great deal of false religion. And the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse number 17 about that ancient religion. It says, they sacrificed unto devils, not to God. To gods, that's with a little g, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Now their idolatry, we know today as mythology. If you study world religions, and especially ancient religions, what you come up with is every ancient society had its own mythology. We might think of, well, I know about Greek mythology, or I know something about Roman mythology, but there is Assyrian mythology, Babylonian mythology, Phoenician, Sumerian, these ancient civilizations. They all had a form of worship, which we know today as mythology. And mythology is just the same old recycled story that was told generation after generation to these ancient civilizations. I read an article a while back. It was talking about America. It was talking about our superhero culture. You know, Superman, Batman, Marvel, Avenger, Captain America, Spider-Man, all this superhero talk that we're very familiar with here in America. And that article was saying that the superheroes was America's mythology, because America, of all the nations in the world, has no ancient mythology. America is a new nation. And if you study and you know the history of America, you know that our nation was based upon the Christian religion, not an ancient religion based upon idolatry. But these ancient societies in Noah's day, their worship, I'm quickly going to say this, but their ancient worship, when they did not worship the true God of heaven, their worship was skyward. And what I mean by that, they worshiped the sun, they worshiped the moon, they worshiped the stars, they worshiped the different constellations, you know, and you still even have that today in astrology. They worship the host of heaven. We see today that there is much emphasis and talk, especially out of Hollywood, about aliens. There are those that believe that aliens created us. that aliens will come back and be our savior, that will set us on the right track. This is a New Age belief that is common in the world today. Ancient ancestors that come from the stars, that's the type of worship that was going on in Noah's day. It was skyward. It was a sacrificial worship. They sacrificed their children in the fires of the false gods, Molech and Baal and other false gods. We could say much about that, and there's even a comparison to the abortion industry in the world. Their worship was satanic. They dealt with, the Bible says, 2 Kings chapter 21, verses 5 and 6, they dealt with familiar spirits, which means demons, fallen angels. Their religion was always had this sexual element to it. There was much wickedness that went on. That was the mindset, if you study it out, in the days of Noah. Number three, there's the morality of those days. Now, in Luke chapter number 17, you may know this, you may have noticed it, you may not, but I read verses 26 through 30, and there is a connection between the days of Noah and the days of Lot. It said in verse 27, they did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Verse 28 says, likewise also. Now that's the Lord Jesus making a comparison, a connection between the days of Noah and the days of Lot. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. And I just want to quickly say that the Holy Ghost of God in the Bible did not use the word marriage to describe what was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. It did call it marriage in the days of Noah, but if you know anything about Sodom and Gomorrah, the Bible does not call that marriage, what went on down there. But they had this same monotony of life. They bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. There's a connection in the morality of the days of Noah and the days of Lot. Even if we go back into the Old Testament, into the book of Genesis, where we have the days of Noah and the days of Lot, Genesis chapter 6, verse number 5, the Bible says this about the days of Noah. It says, Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 is the first time you have the word wickedness in the Bible. The second time you have the word wicked in the Bible is in Genesis 13 and 13, and it says, and the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Once again, these two groups, these two time periods are tied together. So we're talking about the morality in the days of Noah. It was very low. Not only the sin of homosexuality, but there was bestiality. There was rape, common, very common. You study, read Genesis chapter number 19, what went on in Sodom. There was child molestation. There's all these, this wickedness, just like it is today. Well, last of all, and this is very interesting, there's the men of those days. The men that lived during the days of Noah were different. In some respects, some of these men were different, genetically speaking, than men are today. Genesis chapter 6, verse 4 says, there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. Now, I do not have time to go into all of this, but I want to say just quickly, the way to sum this up is that the genetic makeup of man was being messed with. Now, in Noah's day, the sons of God, which is a reference to the fallen angels that came in unto the daughters of men, they did something. They had an offspring that was not angelic and it was not human. It produced a race of giants. It produced a other species, we might say. The genetic makeup of man was being messed with. In verse number 2, we have what happened, that the sons of God, that is fallen angels, if you study out just sons of God in the Old Testament, it always refers to angels. The sons of God saw the daughters of men, that's women, human women, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. Verse number 3, God warned them about that. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. God said, I'm not going to put up with that. There's a cutoff to that. And then in verse 4, we see the result of that. There were giants in the earth in those days. The result of this angelic human mixture that was going on, it produced a race of mighty men upon the earth. Now, no one is opposed to artificial limbs. The better they are, the better it is. No one's opposed to helping people that have diseases get better. I'm not throwing off on anything like that. But when mankind begins to alter and mess with his genetic makeup and basically create a superhuman, a giant, so to speak, it brings the end. It brought about the end in Genesis chapter number 6. God destroyed all of mankind that was infected with this ungodly union that was going on in the days of Noah. It brought about the flood, which destroyed all but Noah's family. If you want a modern day example of what I'm referring to, what I'm talking about, there's television shows that are coming on now. There's one called Almost Human. Almost Human. It's part human, part something else. There's another show that's coming on. It's called Intelligence. It's part human, part something else. Being put into the minds of mankind that man can become more than man. That man can become a superhuman being. You can study this out for your own self. Governments around the world are trying their best to create a super soldier, militaries. You can study about artificial intelligence. You can study these things are actively going on round about us. And it is my opinion, as I study the Bible and I study about the days of Noah, it's my opinion that the first straw that brought about the end of the world as they knew it will be the last straw that brings about the end of the world as we know it. And that is this messing with man's genetic makeup, man trying to become God. You can read intellectual articles about the effort that scientists are making to try to get man to the place where he does not die, where he can regenerate. This is the last straw with the Lord. Now, both ages end in the worldwide judgment of God. Well, back in Luke 17 and verse 26, we're closing today. The Bible said, And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. Are you ready? These days are going to be like one another. I hope you've got some help out of this today. I hope you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Thank you for listening. Noah's going to come and give the contact information.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church that's located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.